The Word of God provides principles and lessons that are relevant to our daily living. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does an exposition of the book of Hebrews and explores lessons you can practically apply. May you be transformed by the Word of God as you study it.
Exposition of the book of Hebrews, lesson number 9, chapter 8 of the book. I titled this lesson, A Better Priestly Ministry Under a New Covenant. We continue with our exposition. Yesterday we were looking at lesson number 8, which looked at the order of Melchizedek, which we saw that it is a higher order than the order of Aaron or the earthly priesthood of Levi that was there in the Old Testament. And we see that Christ's priestly ministry was established on the order of Melchizedek. And we learned that he is the one who met with Abraham in Genesis chapter 14, and he blessed Abraham, and we saw that Christ is greater than Abraham, the father of faith. So now we continue as the writer continues to chapter number 9. You should also understand that the Bible was written without chapters and verses that we know today. This was later added in by those that interpreted the Bible to make it easier for reading and for referencing. So you see that some of the chapters cut across a continuous story. So if you look at this chapter, it is a continuation already. It is the same story, but that is continuing, looking at the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. So in verse 1 to verse number 2, the writer continues to look at Jesus as our high priest, who is seated at the right hand of God, ministering in the heavenly tabernacle. So he shows his position to differentiate him from the earthly priests that were ministering. So when we began this series, we say the writer writes this book at a time that the temple in Jerusalem was still functional. The high priest was there, the priests were there, the temple had not yet been destroyed, so daily sacrifices were still being offered. So the writer here writes and is making a comparison between the two. Those that are ministering in the earthly tabernacle, which was the temple that was in Jerusalem, against Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God and is ministering in the heavenly temple. And he is contrasting the two to show that the heavenly one is the genuine one. The one that was on earth was a shadow. It was a type revealing that which is in heaven so that people may understand. And it was in the Old Testament revealing the fullness that would come when Christ was revealed. So when we read verse 1, it says, now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty. In heaven, not that in heaven, he emphasizes, a minister in holy places, in the true tent. That word tent is for tabernacle. So he's showing there that he's ministering in the true tabernacle that the Lord set up and not man. So this was a tabernacle not built by men, but the Lord himself set it up. He then continues in verse number 3 to verse number 5, outlining the priests, how the priests of in the Old Testament were expected to offer gifts and sacrifices according to the law. So here again, he continues to make a contrast between the old and that which is revealed in Christ Jesus. So in the Old Testament, the priests used to minister by offering gifts on the altar. So they would bring bull offerings, they would bring burnt offerings, they would bring wave offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings. They had to bring gifts and sacrifices according to the law. So there was a law that governed sacrifices on the altar and which type of sacrifice was required. So the writer then shows that Jesus Christ, being a high priest, he is also required or was required to offer something here, to bring a gift or a sacrifice, but not on earth, but in the heavenly tabernacle. So he shows that on earth Christ could not minister because the law there governed how things were done. So he had to minister at a higher level or a higher order, which we saw in the last lesson, that was the order of Melchizedek. And he had to offer something. And what did he offer? He offered himself as the sacrifice. Verse 3 says, for every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest, talking about Jesus, also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since they are priests who offer gifts according to the law. So you see, he's talking of priests on earth. So you're saying if Jesus was on earth at that time, you would not offer because you would not meet the standards of the earthly law. They serve in a copy and shadow of heavenly things. Verse 5 says, for when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that I showed you on the mountain. So if you look in the book of Exodus, when Moses goes up the mountain, God gives him a revelation of the tabernacle, and God says, make sure you make it according to the pattern. And where was the pattern coming from? The pattern was coming from heaven, because already in heaven there was already a tabernacle that was there. So if this earthly one was then a shadow of the heavenly things, and that's very important. So when you read the Old Testament, you must understand that it is written in shadows and pictures. Now the book of Hebrews helps to unlock a number of those shadows and pictures, that when you read the book of Genesis, when you read the book of Exodus, Leviticus, your understanding will change, because you now have a picture that these things were shadows. They were pictures showing things that are really there in the heavens, but because they were still under an old covenant, the fullness of it would manifest in the new covenant. Verse 6 to 7, the writer reveals the priestly ministry of Jesus is better. And this is the main theme of this chapter, that the ministry of Christ as a priest is better and more excellent than the one that was in the Old Testament. Aaron and his sons, they ministered, but their ministry was limited. And both the priests themselves, they died, and they ministered using the blood of animals. So it was limited. The writer also shows that the priestly ministry of Christ is based on a better covenant and on better promises. So it's better, it's superior, it's far more excellent. What a word. It is more excellent than that which is in the old covenant. And this is the covenant that we are in. And this is the covenant that Christ is ministering as a priest. What a blessing. Now in verse numbers 8 to 12, the writer reveals that God has promised a new covenant. And he quotes from Jeremiah. Now you see that the writer is quoting a number of times from the Old Testament, because he's writing to Jews who know the law, and he's using the law to prove to them that Christ is superior to a number of the respected people in the Old Testament. His ministry is superior even to the Levitical order, even to the order of Aaron of high priest. So he uses the Old Testament and he quotes verses from there where God prophesied about Christ, and the prophets spoke about the new covenant. So in this case, Jeremiah prophesies about the new covenant that God is going to establish. Verse number 8 says, for he finds fault with them when he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 9 says, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant. And so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. So you see a contrast already, because the old covenant was written upon stone. When it came to Moses, he went with tablets of stone, and the Ten Commandments were written. That was the key foundation of the old covenant, the Ten Commandments. But God says, I will make another covenant, a new covenant with the house of Israel. And this time, the covenant will be in their minds. It will be written in their hearts. So he's going to write the law, the covenant, inside the person, not external, because the external had failed. People could not keep the external. So he makes a new covenant and says, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 12 says, and they shall not teach each other one his neighbor, or each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least of them to the greatest. I'll read that again. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest. What a covenant. God is saying, I will dwell inside their heart and I will teach them. You remember when Jesus was going, he says, when the Spirit comes, he shall lead you unto all truth and he shall teach you all things. This is the new covenant where the Spirit, where God dwells in our hearts, a way he teaches us from within, where he guides us from within. And what a blessing it is. Verse 12 then says, for I will be merciful towards their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. So the new covenant is based on mercy and forgiveness, where God will forgive us because of what Christ did for us. The last verse, verse 13, he concludes by saying the establishment of the new covenant makes the old obsolete. So once you make a new covenant, it's like making a new constitution. The new constitution overrides the old constitution. We are now governed by the new. So when a new covenant which God made with Israel made for us the New Testament, it overrides, it is superior, it is above the old covenant based on the law. Verse 18, in speaking of a new covenant, it makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Vanish away. So he's emphasizing it to these guys, these saints who were about to backslide into Judaism, to say to them, if you backslide, you are backsliding into an old covenant that has become obsolete, that is vanishing away. You lose your faith in God, you lose your salvation if you do such. Why not hold on to the new covenant which God has established, which is better? Hold on to the priestly ministry of Christ, which is way more better. Let us look at five lessons from chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews, and I believe it will be a blessing to you and you'll be strengthened and equipped by the word of God. Number one, Jesus ministers from the heavenly tabernacle from a place of authority and equality with God. I think I've shared this as we're going on, but I want to emphasize it again, that you should understand the position which Christ is ministering from. He's ministering from a position of power and equality because of where he is seated. And the writer emphasizes this. Verse 1 says, now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Seated at the right hand. And I told you the right hand speaks of power. Then it also speaks of equality. That is the place that he's sitting from. It is important that revelation of who Christ is and him being a high priest but also being God is very important in the way we approach God and in the way we understand God, because that revelation is a key revelation for us as believers to understand where Christ is seated and to understand that he is God and he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle and he intercedes for us. Number two, the earthly priestly ministry was a shadow of Jesus Christ ministry. So when you see the ministry of Aaron, it is a shadow of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So what that means is, whatever Aaron was doing, entering and bringing sacrifice before God, that was a shadow of what God wanted to do in future, to forgive the sins of men. Whatever Aaron did as ministry, he was doing it as a shadow of the ministry of Christ. So he was pointing to Christ. He was pointing to the ministry of Christ. So when you read the book of Leviticus, for you to understand it, you have to see Christ in every sacrifice. You have to see Christ in every ministry that the priests were involved in, because that was a shadow. The earthly ministry was a shadow of the ministry of Christ. The fullness is in Christ Jesus, because he is the one who ministers for our salvation. Lesson number three, Jesus' ministry is better and superior to the earthly priestly ministry. It is superior. So the writer here writes, making a comparison of what is happening in the old covenant, comparing it to that which is in the new covenant, where Christ now is seated at the right hand of God, compared to the priests that were ministering in the old covenant, in the temple that was there, saying this no longer helps anybody. But there is a better, there is a superior ministry, which is the ministry of Christ that brings salvation, that brings cleansing of sin, that brings sanctification, and that's the ministry of Jesus Christ. Bazalwane, we have a better ministry that we have received. We have received the ministry of life. We have received the ministry of redemption that comes from Jesus Christ. And we must not take it for granted. What a blessing, what grace, what mercy that God has shown us. Number four, the ministry of Jesus Christ is based on a better covenant and better promises. What a blessing. So already that sets it apart, because the covenant is based on, this one was based on an old covenant of the law that fell short, but the ministry of Christ is based on a new covenant and better promises. Now listen to what the word of God says, right? Verse 6 of chapter 8, but as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better. So it's a better covenant already. It's a better. Better means superior. Better means more excellent, since it is enacted on better promises. So it has been established on better promises. For it is, the verse 7 says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, there would not be an occasion to look for a second. So if the first had been good, the first had been the right one, then there would be no need for a new covenant. But because the first one was faulty, there was need for a new covenant. And what a blessing. And we see that God had prophesied the new covenant, which the ministry of Christ is based, when Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah 31 and verse 31 to 34, that in those days I will establish a new covenant with them, with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And what a blessing it is, where he says, I'll write my laws in their heart. I'll remember their sins no more. I'll be merciful towards them. Now, the last lesson is, the new covenant supersedes the old covenant. Now that God has established a new covenant through Jesus Christ, it supersedes the old. Our lives are not based on the law. We are not saved by keeping the law. We are not saved by keeping rituals. We are saved by believing in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives. So Christ has fulfilled the requirements of the law, and he has become our high priest. For you to have access to God, it is through Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, he himself, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the ministry of the high priest. As I conclude today, I want to give someone this opportunity. You might be listening to this lesson and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. There is no way out. There is no way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. It has ministered to my heart. I realize that I am a sinner. May you forgive me of my sins. May you cleanse me of all my sins with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Today I receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you have been born again. The Bible says you are now a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The old has gone and the new has come. If you prayed it before and you had backslidden, God has renewed your life. You now need to start to walk with God. Read the word of God. Pray every day. We have more lessons that are coming. Continue to connect. And I believe that the Lord will continue to strengthen you. Join me again tomorrow, saints, as we continue and we move on to lesson number 10. And I believe the Lord will continue to bless you and continue to equip you through his word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson. We believe you have been exhorted and equipped. For more Bible lessons, connect and follow Reverend I.T. Matura on innocentmatura.podbin.com.